It almost feels unnatural to stand up here in the second service of the day. Turn that down a little bit so some of y'all can rest a little easier. I actually never have felt taken it personal if anybody falls asleep during one of my sermons. I always kind of felt responsible for that part of it. And I also always thought if somebody was that tired and I could give them a little bit of soothing rest, they could take it. But you've got 11 minutes and 30 seconds left of soothing rest if you're planning on taking it. So go ahead and start if you are. Otherwise, hopefully what we're going to be looking at tonight will be something that will be worthwhile. I was thinking, though, today, I've got about 3 years left here, a little less, and it would be really good for, if you haven't already, to be praying for the new minister and his family. It's something that will be here before we know it. It's hard to believe I've been here 24 years, but I haven't been sitting on this side of the microphone either. I'm sure if you have, it doesn't take any stretch of the imagination to realize it's been that long. The other thing is this, if 3 years is too much, feel free to talk to one of the elders and we can make it less than that. But if y'all can bear with it that long, I'll try and make it worthwhile. I did take a week off from the history that we've been looking at. The last section that we're going to be looking at is on the Restoration Movement. There's a lot of material in that, and I just want to make sure that I'm prepared for that before I present it and that I present it right. But hopefully what we've learned from that, and I think most of us knew that anyway, but hopefully what we've learned is this. The Church of Christ is not a denomination. It is the Church of Christ. And our duty is to make sure that we have obeyed the gospel so that God can add us to the body of Christ. There's always been one church. It's never been our church. It's always been the church that Christ died for. But hopefully that's become apparent. Hopefully it's also apparent the sin of denominationalism. It's not a judgment upon those who are in it or anything like that. It's just a statement. The body of Christ was never meant to be divided. It's always been a sin to divide the body of Christ, and that's something, therefore, that we need to be aware of and working to make sure that there is a unity of the body. And so hopefully that's come out through all that. The topic I wanted to talk about this evening for the next 9.5 minutes is this. We tend, I think, to get really serious about things that maybe don't matter that much. And when I say we, I include myself in it first and foremost. We just get off. There are times where we genuinely forget during the day that we are a servant of God, that we are here to serve, that we're on our way to heaven for that which we were created for. And we genuinely do get to thinking that the physical things we do are what we're here for, instead of something that we do is part of our service to God. But by doing that, sometimes we get really just kind of knotted up. And so I wanted to use an example. You might remember this. It's a true example. There was an executive, high-powered executive, and he was just to the point where he was just at the end of his tether, and he was feeling the stress. His heart wasn't doing right. He just didn't feel good about living. And he went into the doctor, and he wanted the doctor to do something, to give him something to reduce this stress and to get him back to where he was feeling good again so he could do the work that he wanted to be doing. And the doctor, after talking to him for a while, he said, "Well, I would give you a prescription, but I don't think you'd take it." And the man said, "Oh, I would. I would do it. If you could give me something that would really work, I would take that prescription." Doctor said, "No, I don't think you would." And the man promised him that he would. So I said, "Okay, here's the prescription." He wrote it out on a piece of paper. "Go visit a cemetery and spend the afternoon there." And the man was furious. As I say, he was an important man in business. And he was affronted that the doctor would put something like that. But the doctor said, "You promised. You gave your word. Are you a man of your word or not?" And so the man grumbled, but he went ahead and did that. He went to the cemetery, and what he found out was this. It was filled with the bodies of people, many of whom also thought that they were important, and no doubt had important physical things to do. But many of whom, no doubt, thought that if they didn't get this done, nobody would get this done. And yet the world was still turning. And it was just absolutely a life-changing thing for this executive, because he realized that so many of the things that he was going after and trying to achieve in the big picture didn't amount to a hill of beans. And it wasn't an insult to his life's work. His life's work was important. It was a matter of perspective. The 23rd Psalm, I suppose, may be the most quoted of any verse in the Bible or any passage in the Bible. And so you know how it begins. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restores my soul. I'm convinced that maybe the best part of the first day of the week is that as we gather together, and particularly as we focus on the one who gave his life for us and the Father who designed the plan and who's extended his grace, I believe that's the quiet waters that we need to come by in order to have our soul restored every week. And when we don't do that, or when we rush through, or when our mind is on something else as we partake of these emblems and they just become something that we do by habit, then we lose the regenerative part of it, the restoring part of it, and we lose those quiet waters. We looked at a passage on Wednesday, and I want to return to it. It's found in Luke chapter 10, and it starts in verse 38. But it says, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha came, welcomed him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to his teaching. By the way, it was this Mary who was to pour the perfume on Jesus' feet and to wipe his feet. She was the one who anointed Jesus for his burial. It was this Mary. But Martha was distracted with much serving. I just kind of think about that for a moment. Don't we all have much serving? You mamas will understand this, because maybe better than anybody can. You have children that have to be taken care of. When you're sick, they still have to be fed. They still have to get up. They still have to go to school. They still have to do things. And it is true that you cannot just bypass that. If you don't do it, it probably won't get done. But also, maybe you can understand maybe more than anybody else here how easy it is to be distracted while you serve, because it does have to be done. I've noticed that with this blessing of rain. I all summer long, I've been keeping up with a certain number of lawns, and it's been really easy because we've been in a drought all summer, and then all of a sudden we were blessed with great rain. And something that had been taking 4 to 6 weeks to grow now takes about 4 to 6 minutes. You turn your back and it's smiling at you as it's growing. And it's something that has to be taken care of, because if it doesn't, it'll get away. And yet you get distracted by the serving. We looked at a passage this morning in Ecclesiastes 10:18 that talked about if a man's hands are lazy, the rafters sag, the roof leaks. We know that we need to do these things, but these things are not who we are. And if we ever get distracted like Martha did, we will think that the preparation of food is the main event, and the sitting at Jesus' feet and gaining wisdom is an elective, rather than understanding that God's word, Christ's words, are what we live by. As a matter of fact, isn't it true that the Bible is very clear? What was it Moses was commanded to say by God? These are not just idle words for you. They're your life. The New Testament tells us that Jesus is our life. The Old Testament tells us that God is our life. And so we can't forget who we are and what our life consists of. Otherwise, we might have Jesus saying to us at the end something similar that he said to Martha here on earth. Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things. It's true that we need to be concerned about many things. But when that concern slips over into anxiety, maybe at that point more than any other, at the height of our busyness, we need to pause and go by those quiet waters and have our souls restored. In Psalms chapter 46 and verse 10, God put it this way, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Every time we get so distracted that we take our eyes off of God, we stop exalting Him. And exalt that idea of putting Him up at the high point where He can be seen, where our eyes are always on Him. And again, God knows that He put us in a busy world. I suspect God designed the world to be busy. I think it's one of those tests that He wants us to go through. And I don't think we need to be made to feel guilty for being busy. But what we do need to do is make sure that we maintain the proper perspective. We're going to heaven. Are we on the right path? We have people, we have friends, we have loved ones, we have family that are going to heaven, or they're not. Are they on our radar screen, or are we distracted by our serving in other ways? And again, let's just close with this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. What a blessing we have when we keep it in the right perspective. Invitations open this afternoon. If you need to respond to the gospel's call, we would encourage you to do that while we stand and sing.